Joining us from the park, the great Hall of Fame broadcaster, one of my idols, John Miller, voice of the San Francisco Giants. John, thanks so much for coming on the program today. I know it's you're very busy getting ready for a ball game, and it's very kind of you to join us. How are you, sir?
I'm happy to be here, and I'm extremely well. I'm at my favorite place in the world to be, in a ballpark. So, I mean, this one is a good one, but any ballpark will do for me.
Yes. John, can you just I'm going to go in a little different direction here. We'll talk a little bit about the Giants, but the career of broadcasting, did you ever think that it would take you the places that it's taken you and to the heights that it's taken you and all of the kinds of things that you've been able to experience just as a guy who probably sat in front of your TV like I did when I was a kid and called out games?
I grew up in the East Bay, across the bay from San Francisco, and a place called Hayward, and I played Stratomatic baseball. Do you ever hear of Stratomatic?
I have a game at home.
Yeah.
And right now.
In those days, back in the early 60s, it was a game that you played with dice, and there was a card for every player, and the idea was if you replayed the entire previous season over again, the pennant races and the statistics would all come out about the way they did in real life. So I bought this game, and I found that I played the game, and it was much more fun if I broadcast the game. And I didn't just broadcast the game. I had to be the crowd. I made crowd noises. I was the public address announcer. I was the ballpark organist. You name it. It was kind of an odd sight if you were to walk in on me, because I'd be there. Here's the pitch. Base hit. Dun, 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 dun. The right fielder. Number nine. Roger Maris. Number nine. And if it was a Dodger game, I'd be Vinny. The 1-1 pitch, base hit to left. And I would be the PA man at Dodger Stadium, the late John Ramsey. First baseman, run fairly. He always sounded like he had heartburn, you know, the John Ramsey, very distinctive. Anyway, I guess I was preparing myself for this, and it was sort of amazing that I ended up being able to actually do that for a living. And when I got a job doing the Oakland A's games, 1974, I was 22 years old, which is sort of a miracle in and of itself. And I called my mom and I said, I told her about getting the job. I said, and the great thing is, I don't have to do the crowd noise. There'll actually be a crowd in all the ballparks.
You know what? If you did A's games now, you'd have to do the crowd.
Well,
because they're struggling a little bit with the crowd up there.
The game, that's one of the big things that has changed in the game over the years, the size of the crowds. In those days, back in the 60s, into the 70s, teams were shooting to draw 1 million fans. If you drew 1 million, that was pretty good. The Giants moved into Candlestick Park in 1960, and they would draw anywhere from 1.5 million to 1.7 million. And year after year, that was second most in the National League, and often in the all of Major League Baseball, only to the Dodgers, who were the team that drew 2 million. And the Dodgers weren't drawing 3 million. They would draw, 2.6, 2.5 million, 2.7, and that's just the way it was. When Oakland moved to the Bay Area, the Giants' attendance was cut in half immediately. Instead of drawing 1.5 million, 1.6 million, they drew 800,000, and Oakland, which came from Kansas City, over in Oakland, they were drawing 800,000. And see if this even sounds possible. In 1974, my first year doing Major League Baseball, the A's had just won 2 straight World Series, 3 straight division titles, and in 74, they did it all again. They won their 3rd straight World Series that year, and the paid attendance for the season, 840,000.
Wow.
I mean, digest that for just a moment. What? 840,000. And they played the Baltimore Orioles, who had year after year after year, they had great teams from the late 60s into the 70s.
Yep.
And they played each other in the League Championship Series. The Orioles drew 930,000.
That is
none
weird.
None of the games sold out in the League Championship Series. In Oakland, they were getting 40,000 because they had the weekends. They go into Baltimore, they get 24,000 on a Tuesday and 29,000 on a Wednesday, with Vida Blue taking on Mike Cuellar. Vida Blue took on Jim Palmer, in fact, in one of the games. And,
man.
And they drew 24,000 for it. So it was a much different era. The stuff we kind of take for granted, the size of the crowds and the difference, the different attendance levels, that's not the way it was in those days.
This is the great John Miller joining us here on the Gwynn and Chris get together. Just I can sit back and listen all day if you like. If you don't mind missing the game tonight, John, you can just talk all night. It would be great. Did you keep for the heck of it a signed Charlie Finley check? Because that I think would be a rare item. The cheap owner of the Oakland A's back when you were first hired, right?
Yeah, he was. I likened him to Ebenezer Scrooge in the the Dickens novel, and really at just before Christmas he called us all in. Because I had to work. The broadcasters worked in the off season. We got 2 weeks vacation, or I got 1 week because I was the new guy, and that's all we got. I was, in fact, with Monty Moore, the other broadcaster, had been there for years and years. The two of us were the yearbook sales staff. We didn't get commission, and let me tell you, he got what he paid for with us because, you know, I didn't know anything about selling yearbook ads, and I didn't really care about it. And my best line for I'd call somebody and say, you don't want to buy an ad in the A's yearbook, do you? And they'd always say, oh, no, not interested. And then they'd start asking questions about the A's, and we'd talk for 30, 40 minutes about the ball club and the moves they'd made and might make, and which I was happy to do, but, I was – had nothing else to do except make another phone call to somebody who did not want to buy an ad in the A's yearbook. But he called us in on a Sunday before Christmas, and we wrote letters to last year's season ticket holders urging them to re-up.
Yeah.
And then we composed a letter to prospective season ticket holders urging them to buy. And this took hours.
Yeah.
And I think he was just lonely, and it was Christmas, and he wanted some company. So,
there you go.
That's the way it was. It was everything was there except the line of, I suppose you'll be wanting Christmas Day off. yes, please, sir.
I hope you do.
Well, you be sure you get here all the earlier the next day then.
But, Charlie Finley. He was a character of the game.
He was only built to have players when they had no free agency. And it was about to start because Catfish Hunter, the year I was there, Catfish Hunter, they get to the World Series to play the Dodgers. And the day before, they have the workout at Dodger Stadium before game one. And I go out on the field, and there are hundreds of reporters all crowded around Catfish Hunter, who was the ace. He won 25 games for the A's that year. And he had announced that Charlie Finley had breached his contract, and he was therefore a free agent. He had decided, however, he was going to complete the World Series with the team. Fair is fair. And then he would become a free agent. And, of course, Charlie thought, well, that's we have the reserve clause. You can't become a free agent. Well, yeah. The courts made him a free agent, and it was a revelation. Well, it was better than what the union had hoped it would be, because it seemed like every team at baseball lined up at his home in Hartford, North Carolina, and made their case, and the Yankees were the ones who got him. But the money was way beyond what anybody had ever gotten before. And they thought, wow, that is what we could have if we got the free agency. And it really all started right there with Charlie Finley breaching Catfish Hunter's contract. So that's I was there at sort of a turning point in Major League Baseball history. The year I was there, they had arbitration for the first time. So things were already starting to change in that regard. And that was also all of that was the beginning of the end of the A's run of championships. They won three in a row. And to me, we're one of the great teams of all time. And they really don't get their just due. They don't get talked about as much as they should.
I certainly remember them. And, John, what a thrill just to have you on and listen to your stories. I have about 20 more questions, but I know you have a ball game to get ready for. I have a pregame show to do. But, my goodness, thank you so much for coming on. What an honor to have you on. And congratulations on your great career, and thanks for sharing some of it with us here.
Hey, I'm going to use this line tonight because I'm always looking for good lines. You ready?
Yep.
Low, ball one. So if you tell your guys, Jesse and your guys down here, maybe that I'm using that today.
So they can't have it.
Another one that I'm thinking of today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you in on a secret, but here's the line. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Line drive, foul.
Okay.
It's the timing there, that little pause. I think.
Give that a try.
But you have to, it has to, my advice, It has to be appropriate. You can't just force it in.
Oh, you can't just say it if it's a fair ball?
You have to use it when it's appropriate. And okay. That's the key to the whole deal, yeah.
All right. Adios, pelota. Thank you, John.
Thanks.